Well, they'll steal it also, but they'll just do it.
Just sell it in India?
Yeah,
I don't know how true that is. I wouldn't worry too terrible much about that. Honestly, that's usually a worry that people have about something they don't ever do anyway. I just get off your ass and go make something, you know? Yeah.
I haven't actually employed anything. That's not been my business up to now. But I did live in Shanghai for 8 years.
Yeah.
So it sounds like there's a lot of concerns here regarding having a go guy.
Yeah.
So if it's something that everyone's interested in, I'm definitely going to be importing stuff.
Yeah.
I've just sold my company in China to start doing this.
Yeah.
So I've spent 8 years building.
Yeah, it'd be good if
there.
It would be so, good if we can form over time. If we can form enough of a relationship that we can share an employee or two. That's really, and that's kind of one of my big benefits of doing this is sharing resources. I got to move kind of quickly.
Yeah, you're probably going to talk about this, but the course of the what takes place is 3 weeks. Isn't there a different, like, because it's overwhelming, isn't there like a different theme to each week?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about them in just a second. Yeah. So lastly, and I'll bust through these really, really quick. So now the stuff gets here, it goes through customs. Hopefully it's all okay. And you've got warehousing. We have a warehousing facility in Los Angeles and another one in Austin, Texas. Our LA facility doesn't do as much small product pick, pack, and ship. It does more big box pick, pack, and ship because I don't want to ship big stuff to Austin. So we do pick, pack, and ship. You can use us or not. You certainly do not have to. And if you go with us to China and you want to ship it anywhere you want, it's your business. But we will aggregate for you if you want us to. We also do pick, pack, and ship. You really want to try to think about the best thing to do is to bring stuff in that's different from over there. When you get it here, add value to it again. Like do something else to it. Kit it up with something, right? Maybe kit it with information. Kit it with something else that's U.S. Like the guy that did the razor. I don't know if the guys you saw that. The guy that took the Mercure razor and kitted it with a Chinese razor set. There's things that you can do to kit things up where you change the value proposition where you're operating in a blue ocean and people can't really compete with you. Okay, so then, and then we'll do pick, pack, and ship for you, or you can do it yourself, or there are a lot of other companies that do it. So that's basically importing in a nutshell, bada bing, bada boom, 25 minutes flat. All right, was that pretty good?
Yeah.
All right, I can take a couple questions on that, and then I want to talk through the schedule of the show, where we're going, the segments of the show, and this, everything else is about the show itself. Does anybody else have any general questions?
Well, in terms of what we're doing here collectively, I mean, we're individually, but collectively. Is there going to be some point down the future where you're going to create an umbrella where you showcase these items to gain more market awareness or share, so you're promoting it?
I don't think that I'm ever going to put together a formal group like that. I would just like to keep it just informal, like, and I don't want to do a paid like mastermind or any of that stuff. I'd just rather it be a bunch of people that get along, right? But another place that we can share is like we are this. Shirley, how many trade shows are we doing this year per our new schedule?
Only doing about 12 to 20, somewhere around.
Yeah, 12 to 20 trade shows. So we would rather have, where we have a 10 by 10 booth, I'd rather have a 10 by 30 and share it with a couple of buddies so we all have more presence. So we'd be willing to share stuff like that, but on a deal kind of thing, not a formal like partnership kind of thing, because that gets complicated, especially with bigger money and merchandise.
Partnership per se, but like Skywall.
Yeah. Share page, yeah. I think that's all stuff that the group could get together. You know, so what I'd like to do with this group is, you know, I think the China trip is going to be the formation of sort of a little informal mastermind, and then we are to get together two or three times a year and, you know, just kind of kick around what we're doing, how we can help each other and do some centralized something. And if we end up wanting to have a U.S. person that is our admin or something, we can all chip in a little bit and pay them or something. I don't know how that'll work out. We'll see. But I think overall, there's a lot of benefit to having a group and the power of a group, you know, especially like if we're buying some of the same stuff, because the vendor may say, well, I think I'm going to screw that guy, but he's probably not going to screw all of us, you know, chances are. Or we'll have experiences. I want to do a little board that says, hey, anybody use this factory? Yeah, I did. Here's what happened. Sort of rate them a little bit, you know. So, all right, let's talk. Can we go ahead and talk about the trip?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So, Now, this is a long trip. I don't really expect a single solitary one of you to go on all this trip. I do it all because I have a lot of business interest there already. I'm leaving on the 13th. These are tentative dates, so don't go book your plane ticket tonight, but we will do these very soon. I'm leaving on the 13th of April, and I will land in Hong Kong in the morning of the 15th, about 7 o'clock. I sleep, I fly first class, so I sleep the whole way. I take two Ambien, I take an Ambien and two Unisoms, drink two vodkas, watch about 4 minutes of a movie, and they poke me in the morning. They poke me in the morning and say, "Mr. Belcher, we're here." Right? That's the way I travel to China. I tell them, don't wake me up for meals. If I pee on myself, just cover me with a blanket. Right? So that's the way I do it, because it's simpler that way. I'll be leaving on the, I'll usually fly Air China or China Southern. I fly a Chinese airline. A lot of people don't want to do that. So I fly a Chinese airline or Philippine Airlines usually, because I can fly first class for about $3,000-ish, right? Right, round trip. Where if you fly Delta, you're going to pay $10,000. So what you're going to end up doing is going coach on Delta for $1,500, and you're going to be like this, right? So I don't do that. Now, you can go coach on the Chinese airlines if you want. I wish to God Scott Madden was here. He went with us last year, and Scott's a freaking millionaire, and his cheap ass flew coach. So I took him a picture. I was in first class, and I took him a picture of the menu when I got seated before we took off, and they had champagne and Chateaubriand and lobster tail and all this stuff. It's fancy, fancy first class. And he sends me back a picture of the barf bag from coach, which was hilarious. And the bitch was, when we got to China, Ryan was talking about this morning, we got to China, I was off the plane, and when you go in real early like that, you get off the plane and through customs real quick. So first class, but I'm off, I'm through customs, I'm out in 15 minutes, like tops, right? My luggage is there already, I'm like, boom, let's go, because the first class luggage comes off first. 1 hour and 45 minutes later, Madden's ass comes out of coach. I wanted to kill him. Because I've been sitting there waiting, because I leave from the airport and go straight to the show. I drop my bags at the hotel concierge and I go to the show. So I work all day that day. So this is not a vacation for me. So when I go, I'm hustling, right? So we're going first to the Hong Kong Electronics Fair for the 15th and the 16th. Hong Kong Electronics Fair is like the CES of Asia. All right? It's not the greatest buying they're not the greatest buying opportunities there. You do see a lot of innovation there that you won't see in the States yet, and some buying opportunities if you're really into electronics. But the prices are probably not going to be the best there. But you might find things in Hong Kong at the Electronics Fair that you want to look for when you go to China, right? And see and compare, because most of the guys in Hong Kong are brokers. And they're having things made for them in China, and they're selling in Hong Kong to the stores and the retailers that don't really want to venture into China, right? Because it's a little too risky for them. The Hong Kong guys that you're buying from are going to be more expensive, very low risk. Very low risk. They're all pretty reputable guys, have been around a long time, but they're going to charge you a little bit more. So we're going to do the Hong Kong Electronics Fair. On the night of the 16th, we will travel by car or bus or train, I don't know which yet. All three are very safe and quite cool. To Guangzhou. And on the 17th, 18th, and 19th, we will do phase one of the Canton Fair, which is machinery, electronics, building supplies and hardware. Mostly industrial stuff. I buy a lot here. These are markets that I buy in. So I buy a lot of equipment and machinery. I did for Cleveland Equipment. That whole business was built out of that first section of the show. I buy hardware and tools is in there too. So I buy a lot of tools for the Survival Life business. So we'll be 3 days there. I'll leave on the night of the 19th. This is tentative again, and I'll fly to the Philippines for 6 days. So I'm going to work with my staff in the Philippines. I've got an outsourced staff over there, designers, writers, and all that. So if you guys have interest in hiring people on the ground in the Philippines, you might want to come over. The Philippines is a fantastic country. I love it. I've been going there for years and years and years. My wife's Filipino. I've got family there. I've got friends there. Manila is like Atlanta with a lot of Asian people. I mean, there's a Chili's. You're standing on the corner, and there's a Chili's and an Outback Steakhouse and a Sears and a, you know, it looks like it. Again, I stay at 5-star hotels. So over there, they're about, and the Philippines are cheap. I stayed at the Peninsula for maybe $200 a night, and it's one of the nicest hotels in the world. that now that is not true in China and Hong Kong. They tear your ass clean open, especially during fair weeks. So the Canton Fair is going to be about $400 a night where I stay. Now you can bunk up with two people and split it. You can stay cheaper for about $250 a night. That's still good. Like there's the Ramada Pearl, which is still a very nice hotel for about $225, $250 a night. That's about 5 miles from the show. It'll take you about 15 minutes to get there in the morning. They run a shuttle bus. So you can save money by doing that if you want to. I stay at the Westin that's attached to the fair so that I don't have the bitch. The bitch is not the travel. The bitch is getting back and forth to the bus. I mean, you guys can't really fathom this without being there. But I mean, you see that? You see those buildings over there across the way? That's about, it's not that far. I'm being ridiculous now. But it's not far from that. You look at the bus light and you're like, okay, I'm going to walk to the bus now. And 45 minutes later, you're going, I'm almost there. And it's hot and sweaty and crowded and it just sucks. Yeah, it wears you out. Shirley's been with me before. And I hustle. Man, I'm busting through that show. So I wear sneakers and I'm getting it. Right? I don't wear sneakers. I wear dark shoes that have rubber soles. I don't wear sneakers because I look like a kid. Because if I look like a kid, what? I don't look like a buyer, right? Okay, so, but that's up to you how you stay. The Philippines is considerably less expensive. You can stay there for as little as $100 a night, still be in a really nice hotel, right? We are probably going to go to Manila and to Davao. And I've never been to Davao, but my staff now is in Davao and Mindanao. We don't only go to Mindanao because we'd all like to live. The Mindanao, southern Philippines, but it's Muslim controlled. It's a Muslim controlled kind of. They don't like other people down there too much, especially not Americans. So, but my best employees, oddly enough, though, are coming out of Mindanao now. My virtual employees, rather than Manila, I can pay them a lot less, and they're way harder workers. excuse me. I don't really pay them that much less, but they're way harder workers, way more disciplined. They have less opportunity, but they're very educated and very well-spoken. And they're hard charging. They have most Filipinos, kind of the fault of most Filipinos is they're just not, They're just not, they have no sense of urgency in a lot of cases. The people in Mindanao do, they have more, right? Am I stereotyping? Yes, right? There are plenty of hardworking people in Manila. There are plenty of lazy people, I'm sure, in Mindanao. But just my experience has been, it's been good out of Mindanao. So I'm going to meet my Mindanao team in Davao for a couple of days. I'm going to meet my Manila team. I still have people in Manila. I'm going to meet my Manila team in Manila. And we're probably going to go for a retreat 1 day or 2 days to Palawan or Boracay to the beach. So I'll take all my employees to the beach for a retreat. And you guys will be welcome to join in any of that if you want to. I do drink a little. If you hadn't noticed. We'll leave on the 25th, on the night of the 25th. We'll go back to Canton. We go back to Guangzhou for phase two of the fair. That's gifts, home decor, and consumer goods. This used to be my least favorite part of the fair, and I used to skip it. But now I'm in the home decor business, right, with Shirley in the canvas art business. And we buy, this is where you're going to buy stuff that you will see at Walmart, Kmart, Rite Aid, Eckerd, Walgreens, consumer goods. Now, a lot of people, that will serve no purpose for them at all. What it is good for is lead magnet stuff. So if you're going to buy cheap consumer goods to give away as lead magnets, it's a pretty good place to find that sort of stuff, right? Because you're going to find stuff that is meant for department stores, is meant for discount stores, is meant for C stores. So there may be a lot of lead magnet opportunities there. We'll be there the 26th through the 28th, so 3 days again. We will go back to Hong Kong on the 28th through the 30th, or the 28th to the 29th, depending on how good the Hong Kong printing and gifts and premium show is. A lot of you may want to skip this leg of the show, to be honest with you, and go do something else. If I were you, I'd go to Thailand and just relax, because Thailand's really pretty. It's really fun. Bangkok's a great city. It's an international city. There's a lot of great restaurants there. There's a lot of art there. There's a lot of great architecture to see. There are no hot women there. It's a cool place. They all like alcohol. There are no women there. Then the 3rd through the 5th, we'll come back to Guangzhou for the very last end of the show, which is the third phase. And that's the phase I spend actually the most time in. And that will be, we'll come back on the night of the 2nd. Somewhere between the 1st and the 2nd, I'll come back to Guangzhou. Because the show starts back on the 2nd, I think. And we'll go to third phase, which is office supplies, all business equipment, office supplies, copiers, printers, stuff like that, sporting goods, music, like musical instruments, pianos, guitars, things like that, and any soft goods and textiles are in that section of the show. All right? Now, this is hard to imagine. This place is like multiple times bigger than this hotel, right? And convention center. And they empty it out completely from section one, and in 3 days they'll open back up section two. With I think there are about 20,000 vendors in each section. So they're gonna move out 20,000 booths and move 20,000 booths back in within 3 days. And a lot of these booths, they build them with sheetrock and 2x4s. They're building 2-story and 3-story trade booths in these things. It's insane what they can do. It really is. But you'll see, and actually the last portion of the show too, they have a big international pavilion where they have in vendors that are from all other countries all over the world are allowed to come in. So you'll have guys from, you know, from the Middle East, from Indonesia, from Malaysia, from Vietnam, that will be there showing their wares in the last section of the show. So, and if you guys want to go to, it's cantonfair.org.cn. We'll show you the schedule. It's office supplies, sporting goods, music, and textiles. Now, there's some other stuff in some of these sections. Like, I think that one is also foodstuffs. I didn't mention it because I ain't buying foodstuffs from China, right? But, I mean, I've never even considered it. Or medicines. And there's a lot of these things. They have medical equipment. One of my buddies is an importer. You meet a lot of people over there, too, that you'll become friends with for a long period of time. One of my guys is a good friend of mine now. He imports oxygen generators from China and then rents them to people and it gets subsidized by Social Security and Medicare for it. And man, he has just made a freaking fortune and is loving him some Obamacare. He's loving it. Yeah.
Well, some of these have double suppliers, like for some vehicle places, yeah. Like the electronics, yeah. Sporting goods.
Yeah, you know, some will. Some will. And you'll see some that you see at Hong Kong and back at China. And it's funny because sometimes if they don't remember you, the Hong Kong price will be considerably different than the China price, you know? So yeah, you will. Anybody questions on that side? Yes, ma'am. It's cantonfair.org.cn, I think.
What kind of research do you do before? I mean, how prepared do you have to be?
I'm usually, personally, not prepared at all. If I've got target vendors that I want to meet, I schedule my appointments in advance. So, like, if I've vetted vendors, like on Import Genius, I'll ask them if they're going to be at Canton Fair. If they are, I'll go. Now, one thing I didn't put in here, this may change. These breaks may very well change for me. They're always flexible, and I do something that you may not want to do. I only book my air to China and back when I go. So I book everything else while I'm there, which is some of you guys that are like Shirley would be like freaking. Doing that. She needs to book out 9 months in advance, make sure she gets her life insurance in place before she goes, and she can buy a parachute, and you know. But I didn't talk about visas. You guys are going to need a visa. I'll tell you about that in a minute, too. But I book everything when I'm there. And the reason I do that is because if I really get a good relationship with a factory, with somebody at the show, I'm going to want to go to the factory. So I may cut my little breaks out, because going to the Philippines, going to Thailand, that's a plus for me. If I don't get to go, if I really need to stay and work a factory, I'll stay and work a factory for a half a day or a day. And the way I work a factory is fun to go with me, because I'm really good at that. Because I can work the factory. If I'm, like I was starting to say earlier, if I'm paying $10 on Alibaba and $9, I get it down to $9 and I get it down to $7 at Canton, I may get it for $5 by the time I get done with the factory. Because I'm gonna wear the factory out. They're going to be tired of me, you know, by the time I'm done. But you don't want to take all the money off the deal either. You know, you want to leave some meat on the bone for them to make a profit. Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about strategy. Do you start with your current list that you have and decide what kind of products you're going to buy for them?
If you have a good current list, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. That would be ideal.
Or do you just go buy a product and then create a whole business around that?
Well, that would be dumb.
That would be dumb.
Yeah. That's the way I've done it. That's the way I've done it pretty much every time I've ever done it. But I hate to recommend somebody else to do it that way. Because it's kind of dumb.
Because for your survival list, is that when you went and bought the knives?
I bought the knives. Well, I bought $400,000+ worth of printing equipment without knowing what I was going to print.
Okay.
Right? So I'm, you know, I'm kind of nuts. But I got a pretty good track record of making things work. The knives we bought by air. So I was only out like $5,000 the first lot of knives. And the problem with that was that we blew through them in like a day. And we're like, oh shit, we gotta get more knives. So we called them up, hey, we need 50,000 more knives. Oh, that's gonna be 4 weeks. You know? And like Chinese New Year just happened,
yeah.
Right? We were stuck. We can't get any more permanent matches right now. I'm out. Because we didn't order within the proper window before Chinese New Year. And buddy, Chinese New Year's serious. It's closed. Country closed. Yeah, that's it. No thanks, country's closed. You know, that's it. And you're not getting anything out. They don't even take orders. Most of the factories won't take orders now 2 weeks before Chinese New Year. So you got a basic month of every year that you can't order or get any movement or any communications or anything. You're just screwed, you know? So you gotta plan around the stuff, you gotta plan around stuff like that. I speculate, but I have financial means to do that. You know, it just depends on, you know, if you wanna play it safer, yeah, see what the list is already buying. Go look at your, go to use tools like FreshKey and use tools